David found a pension that his staff would love. He chose NatWest Cushion because it has a fantastic app that is easy to use. Everyone feels good, except David. He is ecstatic. Take a little more action with a NatWest Cushion workplace pension. Tomorrow begins today. Search NatWest Cushion. Capital at risk.
Hi, this is Stacy from The Advisor, and today I'm very excited because we have a very special guest. She's been on our show, and she is just amazing. I had to have her back because she just has a whirlwind of information to share with the world, and her information is very valuable. Mary Jackson has two children with autism. She is an advocate for children and families with autism. She focuses on parenthood, and she has such great input. And you don't even have to have autism. It really applies to just parents in general. You could apply this to people with disabilities, to just regular parenting. She covers the spectrum. So listen with your ears, absorb her information, because she has such great stuff to share with us today. And before I begin, I just want to give a quick shout out to our sponsor. It's DMA World. Now, they are a marketing consultant agency run by a gentleman named Mark. Mark doesn't like people to get scammed. He feels like the world, the marketing world, the industry itself has a lot of big marketing companies that take advantage of small businesses, and he wants to focus on those small businesses and help them grow. So check out dmaworld.com and ask for Mark, and he'll be very happy to talk with you and help you through your journey of building your business into a successful business. So Mary, tell us everything, you know, give everybody a little feedback about yourself. Let people who haven't heard you in the last show, tell them a little about yourself, what you do, and then let's dig really deep into what we were talking about previously, because there's so much to share and you have so much great advice.
Stacy, thank you so much. And thank you for the introduction. And I really appreciate it. So I'm a wife. I am a mother of three children. Two of my kids are on the spectrum. So I have been advocating. We start advocating once we're pregnant, because we have to make sure we do the right things for our baby and ourselves. Yeah. My oldest is 23 and was never diagnosed with sensory issues. Yet she has struggled her whole life with those. But back then they weren't diagnosing as much as they are today, which we, new data says 1 in 36 kids is diagnosed with autism by the age of 8, and it's mostly male. Now that is, we're trying to change that, so that the female, part of our world doesn't get left behind. It's just that with girls, it shows up, there are several things that show up. And just to say a snippet about that, it's usually bulimia or anxiety or depression that usually shows first before they can get the diagnosis of autism. So they're trying to correct that. Anyways, I am a children's author, and I write for adults as well. My focus is empowering kids and empowering through language and storytelling, and also through positive words to get little ones started on language, positive language, really early. I'm an ambassador advocate for Autism Tennessee. They serve 60,000 plus families. And I really love working with them, and I get to go out in the community. I set up events, I get to, I meet all kinds of people that are looking, just like we were talking about before we started the show here, just things that they're looking for, like even to hire people with disabilities or challenges, and they want to be more accessible to that community and they're not really sure how. Yeah. I've also been able to make sure our library is more sensory friendly by helping to create a sensory room in our library here locally, which was really such an honor to be able to do. Mm-hmm. And they were not, they had not even really, it's not that they hadn't done anything in the library to be sensory friendly. They just hadn't done what would have made it more accessible for all families to come in, and it's important, even our disability community, we want kids to understand literacy, to understand and know the love for it and how important it is in their life, doesn't matter where they are, like you said, on the spectrum of challenges. But I have really had a beautiful walk with that. My children have been an incredible education and tools for me in my life and resource. I had no idea what journey I was getting myself into when I had children. I just knew I wanted them.
Yeah.
I was told I couldn't have them. We tried 7 years. I had 4 pregnancies, 3 babies. And each of them I consider a miracle. So it's an honor to be a mom for me. I look at it like a job, you know, and my responsibility is to try to always, I guess, be the best version of myself I can be. I am not perfect. None of us are. But because we're the first things they see in life and experience, we really do have a responsibility. I think sometimes it gets forgotten that, wow, I really can't do that in front of my children.
Right.
Say those things, because then they're going to do that and think it's okay. It's never a, like, don't do as I do as I say anymore. It's right. Like, you know, they're like minor birds, you know? Yeah. And so we have to be really careful about that and responsible, because, you know, we want to teach them how to have a healthy relationship one day when they get married. So if children are watching parents fight all the time, they're going to believe that's what their life should be.
Yeah.
And it's not what their life should be.
No.
So, you know, it's good for kids to see, and I know we're getting a little off track here, but
no, go ahead.
It's good for children to see parents, if they argue but are able to work it out.
Yes.
Then parents who don't work it out, walk off, are very abusive. I mean, there is no excuse for that in front of a child ever.
Oh, for sure.
I don't care who you are, right?
Yes.
So, but my, back to the advocacy journey part of things, one of my children went through a tremendous trauma at 5 in the special ed classroom. So that took my journey on a different.
David found a pension that his staff would love. He chose NatWest Cushion because it has a fantastic app that is easy to use. Everyone feels good, except David. He is ecstatic. Take a little more action with a NatWest Cushion Workplace Pension. Tomorrow begins today. Search NatWest Cushion. Capital at risk.
Pathway of seeking to change law in the state that I live in.
Yes.
So that changed my life completely, not only as an advocate, but as a mother and a human, because when your child is damaged at the hands of someone else, you... psychologically, what it does not only to your child, because that's a whole different story. That's a lot. But for you, I know for me, I then lost trust in everything.
Yeah.
I was afraid to let my kids go anywhere, be with anyone else. Because in my mind was, if it happened in public school, then anything can happen.
Oh, yeah.
So that was a long journey for me to come back to a place of trust.
Right.
And something I still am challenged with, and rightly so, you know,
yeah.
But so I ended up going on a path with that enriched even more of the, advocacy work. But I'm also have done live streaming for 5.5 years and podcasting. So I interview authors, and I interview folks in the disability community as well, to let people know what kind of resources and tools are out there, because I felt so alone on my journey, which I'm sure you did too.
Yeah, I did.
So for me, it's part of a way of giving back, you know, like saying, I don't want you to feel as lonely as I did, because it is a lonely road. You don't, your kids don't have the phone calls coming in. Can you play? Can you do this? Can you do that? You know, they don't have it at school sometimes. And so as parents, you know, I have parents who are in the typical world and parents who are in the non-typical world, or the, you know, and I don't like using those terms, but it's the best way to describe it. And the experience is really interesting with both sets of parents.
Oh yeah. Two different worlds.
Yes. So, I like to speak anytime I can about this, and awareness, I feel like, is so important. You and I are hopefully going to do some awareness, you know, sessions and stuff out there for folks, because we both have our own experiences in this life and viewpoints that are very valuable, I think, to be able to help others. Mm-hmm. And so that's a little bit about me. I think, yep.
I feel, you know, what you said was so valuable, that it is two different worlds. And, you know, what I've noticed, because one of my children you know, I actually had two children with disabilities, but one of them was worse than the other. And for that one child who had it worse, they were put in more secluded classrooms. Okay. And for them, for my one child, that made my one child feel very indifferent. And you know, kids would make fun of him. And then he would feel that he was, his self-esteem definitely went down. I could, you know, he didn't say it, but you could see. And he also was very angry inside. And you could tell because his temperament was very easy. You could very easily, he could just snap and get angry very, very quickly. And it wasn't because, you know, he was just a mean person. It was because he had a lot of anger from the way he was treated and how he felt in school. You know, when children are growing up, they just want to be like everybody else. Well, you know, they want to feel like everybody else. They want to be, you know, included in that. And, you know, our society, we have an environment where we feel like everyone has to be the same, and we don't. It's better to be unique than to be, you know, and to stand out than to be the same. But when you're growing up as a child, you're still trying to find yourself, and you don't want to feel like you're less than somebody else. And when you get put into these classes, you know, sometimes other children, you know, can be very mean and make you feel like you're less of who you are, or they build it up in their head. And that could lead to anger, frustration, depression. And, you know, and one of the things I say to people too, is if you see your child sleeping a lot, it might not be because they're tired. It might be because they're depressed, you know, and it is harder to find friends when you're like, you know, when you have those challenges. And, you know, as a parent, it's our duty to really try our hardest to boost our child, make them feel special, pump them with positivity, and show them what their strengths are, and then utilize it and then build upon it. Because I think we really need to build those strengths about our child. Let them see how valuable it can be to them and to the world, and let them build on it and make themselves feel like they're special. Because once they feel good about themselves, that's all they need, and they will fly. And what I've noticed, I don't know about you, Mary, but I noticed when I was trying to advocate for my child, there's a lot of parents that are in denial, or they use very harsh language and they put down their child. And, you know, those children, you know, they grow up not feeling good about themselves, and then they kind of get lost in society, and they don't go elevate to the higher levels, and they don't become, you know, reach their full potential because of the way they were treated as a child. It all starts as childhood, just like a puppy. When you get a puppy, if you shower that puppy with love, that puppy throughout its whole life will shower you back and shower your family back with love. But as soon as that puppy comes through the door, if you show meanness to that puppy, you're going to have one angry dog the rest of your life in that home. So the moment your child is conceived, and they say in science, it's not even when the child is conceived, it's when the child is inside you. If that's where it all begins, from the moment of conception, and when you're, you know, that's, and then when your child comes out and your child is born, it's our duties as parents, I think, to really show our children that, you know, they are special. They have qualities. Look at this about you. Look at that about you. You're wonderful. That's terrific. How do you feel about all that? I know I threw out a lot of info right now, but as you were saying that, it just all came to my head, and I just felt like it was necessary to share it. But how do you feel?
Yeah, no, I agree with you 100%. Because, you know, I think when we pour into our children, until they can pour into themselves, because they don't know what they're capable of.
Yes.
They try. And if we encourage them, they're going to try more. And I just, you know, with my kiddos on the spectrum, I just don't say no, that you can't do that. I do want you to try it, as long as it's healthy and good for them. Right. So, mom, I'm always encouraging them, you know, just, hey, we're going out, you know, you want to try soccer? Let's try soccer. You want to try this? We're going to try this. You know, let's try it. Let's try drums. Let's try an instrument. You know, let's do those things. I do believe that the way I've raised my kids, I've used a lot of music and arts with my children, because children on the spectrum tend to be highly, highly creative. And for those children who are nonverbal, using words or having them write, draw, things like that, they can express what's happening inside them mm-hmm. that they can't actually say. Like my oldest daughter was really, really just awkwardly shy. And it's so funny now today, she's not like she was, you know, but as a child, she was to the point where I used writing with her so she could express to me how she was feeling.
Right.
Say it. And even now these days, if she's like, Mom, I'm trying to process, because they know all the language, my kids do. And yeah. So she's like, I'm really trying to process. I said, okay, just if you need to write it down for me, then just write it down for me. Okay.
Right.
Now she's a songwriter. She's a music major and she writes beautifully. It's so
amazing.
Beautiful, so deep and just really connected. And so I'm glad she had that outlet for her to process. My middle daughter, who went through the trauma, she had been drawing since she was like 18 months old. And so yeah. art was her channel in her life to process her trauma. And so I can't even imagine the condition she would be in today if she did not have that channel in her life.
Yeah.
Now, all children need a channel of some sort that is very healthy and it has boundaries they can go out of, but it's still safe for them.
Yeah.
Sports are very important. So athletics, academics, and the arts, I think are three very important things to raise your children with.
Yes.
It helps them use both sides of the brain. It helps them to take in information, the nine different ways that we take in information, use all of their senses because we're intended to.
Yeah.
But we're also intended to be creative, you know? And so I feel like it helped my children process through some pretty significant stuff and not end up screaming, I hate you, slamming doors. I want my room painted black so I can sit in there and go into a deep depression.
Right.
Because their emotions are like this. I don't care who the kid is, right?
Oh, for sure. No, 100%.
Even the most stable home can't have a child who's like this, right? Because as we're talking about the spectrum and we're talking about autism, ADHD, things like that, you know, there is a very significantly high chance your child will have anxiety and depression because it goes along with it.
Yes.
So when you've got a kid who their emotions are already like this, and then you throw all that in, you're going to have a lot like this. And especially a child who is not sure how I'm feeling. And of course, you know, in middle school, I really saw this so much with my oldest. And I see it with others in middle school. They're so self-absorbed because it's the stage they're in.
Yes.
That they don't realize that majority of their friends are all going through the same thing.
Yes.
They think they're the only one. So we have to talk to them about that.
Right.
I will tell you, when my girls were younger, I tried an experiment with them and, I decided to, instead of focusing on the things they weren't doing or the getting in trouble or not cleaning their room or doing chores, whatever it was, your typical average stuff in life.
Yeah.
I decided to let's do reverse psychology and let's just go the positive route. So I went into that and then I saw a change in my children and the relationship with my children.
Yeah.
And I was like, okay, so there are people out there missing this with their kids because starting to, like you were saying earlier, if we.
David found a pension that his staff would love. He chose NatWest Cushion because it has a fantastic app that is easy to use. Everyone feels good, except David. He is ecstatic. Take a little more action with a NatWest Cushion Workplace Pension. Tomorrow begins today. Search NatWest Cushion. Capital at risk.
Tell our kids all that positive stuff. Now, they have to have reality in there too. I'm not saying we need to fluff them up to think they're so perfect that then they're narcissists one day. So we've got to find that balance, you know.
100%. But,
yeah. So we're not saying, you know, go all the way over this direction.
Yes.
What we're saying is that we have to do that for them till they can figure that out themselves, so they can feel encouraged enough to believe themselves, because children are full of self-doubt.
Yes.
Especially children who come from any kind of trauma, maybe a birth trauma, genetic, you know, it's in the genes,
100%,
or any kind of challenge. So when I poured positivity into them, I saw them rise to that. So they're going to show up when you're talking about them, because kids have that attention bucket, good or bad. Mm-hmm. It's got to be full every day, right? So you wonder, why does that kid keep acting so bad? Why is his behavior, her behavior so bad? Behavior is communication. It's something a lot of us forget. So if you are constantly yelling at that child, putting them down, telling them how bad they are, how wrong they are, blah, 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 you're still giving them attention.
Yes.
Now they have come to be conditioned to this. So, okay, my dad or mom or my aunt, grandma, whoever's raising them, okay, they pay attention to me when I'm being bad. So that's what I'm going to do. And it's really that simple, but we don't think about it being that simple. We're like, we feel almost like a victim at the throes of, why are you being so bad?
Right.
Well, why don't you sit down and talk to this child? What is happening for this child? Exactly. If they can't talk to you, then tell them, you know, run, dance, work it out, write it out, you know, I mean, play it on an instrument, something, until you can get to that place that you can go, okay, now I can talk about it.
Yeah.
We have to give our kids tools for processing. If my 10-year-old, I love his OT therapist, that's his occupational therapist. She has used a program with him, and I can't tell you the name right now because I have forgotten it, but she uses a program with him that is socially, emotionally, mentally based. And it teaches him what's happening in his body. So he understands upset tummy, a headache, a tightness in the chest, whatever it is, he can start to understand, okay, so this is an emotion here I need to address.
Excellent.
And so he can, I've had the experience with him, he's bouncing off. I'm like, buddy, what's happening with you? I'm just so excited. You know, and it's like, okay, so let's sit down and talk about why you're so excited. So you can diffuse situations so much easier. I'm not saying this is like you get it the first time you try it with a child.
Oh, yeah.
You got to work it out with your child. I mean, I learned, and I think as moms and dads too, we have to turn into our intuitive self. We have to turn into that mother instinct, that God gave us that instinct. Oh, okay, baby. I'm sorry. My little guy's here with us today. So, so we say hi to my little guy, but anyways,
hi little guy.
So, we have to, and I lost my train of thought. So can you remind
me? We were talking that, you know, we really have to use our intuitiveness.
We do. I learned that very early on. It doesn't mean I do it all the time. Sometimes I forget. You go into your emotions take over, right?
Yes.
So, but when I would tune into that mother instinct, and anytime I've not listened to it when it's come in, it's, you know, there's been consequences for it. But
yes,
like with him, when he was little and he couldn't communicate very well, because two of my kiddos on the spectrum were nonverbal,
right?
Mostly, or it was an audible, like you couldn't understand what they were saying. I would come down to his level. I would put my hand on his belly and his back and just apply gentle pressure, like a hug. And I would take my tone under his, and it would diffuse the situations 99.9% of the time. So we didn't go through these horrendous temper tantrums that you could go through, or we could have gone through with him. And that was my instinct kicked in for me. And I tried it once and I was like, oh my gosh. Okay. That was like amazing, because he didn't feel threatened by the change of my voice. Like even now at his age, he's very tuned in to the inflection tones in my voice. Like he has a teacher at school and he's like, mom, I can tell she's mad, or I don't think she likes me. Mm-hmm. And it's the inflection that kids really are tuned into that we don't realize.
Right.
And so we need to, we have to monitor ourselves for that, you know? But also if you think about, I used to give this example sometimes, you have two children. Mm-hmm. I'm going to give my girls as an example, right? So my oldest, if I went in when she was like 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 years old, I'd go in the morning and say to her, she was not a morning person. And I would say, okay, honey, what shirt do you want to wear? The white one or the blue one? And she went, I want to wear the white one. And I just gently back out of the bedroom, leave her alone. And I'd be like, but I really, every morning I hated waking her up for school because this is what I was going to get, the Tasmanian devil, right?
Yeah.
I had to figure out what to do with that. So, but my point is, she could say that and it make me go like this. And then my other one can be just so sweet and soft and you just give them the world.
Yeah.
And the way we talk to people really, really does affect the way we react to somebody, the way we're spoken to.
100%.
I know. So we don't realize that with our kids, we take for granted. I should be able to talk to you the way I want to.
Right. No,
no.
Yeah.
Mm-mm. No, because then we teach them to do that.
Yeah.
We don't want to teach them to do that. We want to teach them to be mindful.
Yes.
How do I sound when I talk to you?
Right.
You know?
And I think we have to realize too, that every person is different. So how I talk with one child is not going to always work with the other child. Like I have three children with three completely different personalities. Yes. They may look alike, but they are three different, totally personalities. So when I could talk to one child a certain way, but then I have to talk to the other child a certain way. And then I know I could talk to this child, I have to be a certain way because they all take in things differently. I have one child very easygoing, very open to anything. I have one child who I have to be, you know, I know where my limitations are, like how I can say things, you know, I have to reword things a little bit. And then I have another child that's super sensitive about everything. And then just sometimes overanalyzes everything. So I have to be really super, super careful with my communication with that child and really word things completely different than the other two, because, you know, I think parents have to realize that each child, even though they know that each child might be different, we have to also communicate differently because communication is key. And the way we speak to them has a humongous impact. And also, like when you were talking, I also realized that I have to just throw out this statistic that 70% of the United States families come from dysfunctional families. And from the moment, you know, it all starts at the root. And so if we have things going on in our life that may have been negative or communication with our parents may not have been good, now is the time to really step and try to think about, okay, you know, my mom did this with me and I know it didn't work. And sometimes I see myself doing that, not intentionally. So maybe I need to work on myself as a parent, because there's always time as a parent to work on ourselves. You know, nobody is perfect. And if something is not working well, or you see yourself doing some negative behaviors because just you grew up in that type of family, take a step back, take a breather, maybe walk out of the room and say, how can I do this better with my child? Because, you know, for me, I had two children with disabilities and I, it was a task because I had to, both of them had to be treated completely different. And, you know, to this day, I still have to do things differently. But, you know, I noticed sometimes, you know, I might do things because that's the way I was brought up. But now I'm in a totally different life. I'm in my own family. So I have to, sometimes if I catch myself doing something that could be done better, I have to realize I'm a parent. I'm not perfect. I make mistakes. How can I make this situation better? How can I communicate better with my child? How could I get better results? And then, you know, and be honest with yourself. Maybe I didn't come across really well because I said it this way and I could have said it that way and it probably would have been better, you know, and accept that, you know, you're not perfect and you make mistakes and then just try to redo it. And I think your child will appreciate that too.
Absolutely. 100%. And I was going to say the other thing that really, one of the reasons I had to change my parenting, because after the trauma that my daughter went through, I couldn't parent her the same way that I was previously.
Yeah.
If anybody raised their voice at all, she cowered.
Yes.
She'd been screamed at, right?
Yes.
The trauma she went through lasted for 8 months before we found out. Mm-hmm. So it being almost being non-verbal enough to be able to talk to us about what was happening till the police department called us to let us know what had occurred, what the investigation was. But we had to, you can't use timeout on a child like that. You can't use a loud voice. You can't use dire consequences.
Mm-hmm.
Because they've been traumatized at the hands of someone else. And so
exactly.
I had to get on my knees. I had to pray for help because yes. I was in a world that at that point that I wasn't sure what to do exactly, you know?
Yes.
And I'm glad that it helped open my eyes to just see that there's just a better, different way to do things, that you can still get the same or results from, but just to do it a little differently.
And, you know, I also realized too, is that, through counseling and coaching people, there's a lot of adults that didn't realize that they had autism, that now, because autism is such a more popular topic and is talked about more, and there's more research being done, people are realizing that they could be on the spectrum.
Oh,
and
yeah.
And, you know, I even had one person that I was working with, and they realized it was in they probably were going into their 40s, and they realized that, like, probably late 30s, early 40s, they realized that they were on the spectrum of autism, and now they're going to get help for it. But, you know, all these years, because autism was not talked about, they didn't realize until they got older and they realized that, you know, their thinking habits or the way they were reacting was differently. And then they went and they got help. And then it was brought up by specialists that it looks like you might be on the spectrum of autism. So there could be a lot of parents out there, parenting their children that have autism. If they hear some of these symptoms that you're describing, they could themselves be on the spectrum themselves. And if they do think that they may have some symptoms that are related to autism, maybe they should speak to somebody, because that could interfere with their parenting skills as well. And maybe if they have a child that's autistic, they might be, you know, if they might carry some, you know, have autism also, but maybe it's on the spectrum, it's very mild, but it's worth, you know, checking out. If you don't feel right and you see behaviors that are irregular in yourself, what do you think about that?
Yeah, absolutely. And I agree with you. I'm hearing more and more stories about people who are adults now going, oh my God, now my life makes so much more sense to me. Why I did this, why I was like that. I always felt like so strange or weird or an oddball or an outcast. And now I know why. And so that that brings us back to, why are there so many individuals? Like, I know when I did research not too long ago for an article, in the 80s, I think diagnosis was 1 in 100,000. It didn't mean it didn't exist more than that. It just meant that was the diagnosis rate at that time.
Yeah.
1 in 36. So I read an article too that said autism usually comes through the male line. And I do know that my children and I have all been genetically tested. I had to get tested after having my son, because I had him late in life. So at 45, after having him, I was desperate for some hormonal balance.
Yes.
You know, like, mm-hmm. No, please help me. And so she said, well, let's do some genetic testing. Let's see what kind of hormones you can use. Cause my mother had blood clots and was not able to take the birth control pill. And then
okay.
I had a blood clot in my 20s and they took me off birth control. And so she said, okay, let's do some specific testing. So MTHFR was what came back.
Mm-hmm.
And I have a gene from both parents, heterozygous, homozygous. So I decided to have my 3 kids tested, and there is a high link between MTHFR and autism.
Okay.
My oldest has got the same 2 genes I do. And then my other 2 kids, one has one and one has the other.
Okay.
And so the reason that it's important to know this, and actually I was just talking to my chiropractor about this yesterday, and he was saying that they are finding the population of our world is the diagnosis for MTHFR, which is a gene mutation. It means the body doesn't methylate and break down like it's supposed to.
Right.
Occurs in the liver. And when you're not utilizing the minerals and vitamins that you need, then your body's going to lack, you know, it's not going to react the same way. You know, a person with MTHFR is going to, they're going to have more toxins in their body. It's going to be harder for them to get them out. They're going to react more to medications and drugs. They are going to have a harder time getting over ailments and things.
Yeah.
But it also, there's a lot of other connections too. But the important thing for knowing it is that then you can take the right things for it.
Right.
Like we use a supplement from the doctor that's specifically for MTHFR. It's MTHFR care. So all the vitamins in it are methylated, which means the body breaks it down easier. It doesn't have to do such hard work, or you don't even get to use it at all. Mm-hmm. You know? So like my father, when he passed away in 2019, he had Parkinson's, supranuclear palsy, and dementia.
Oh, wow.
Now he obviously had MTHFR because I've got it from both parents. If he had known that he had that gene, he could have used the right things for it and may not have either had those three things, or maybe they wouldn't have been as significant as they were.
Right.
So, cause like B12, for instance, you have to use a methylated B12.
Okay.
For the body to absorb it. You can't just use straight B12. It'll just go right through.
Right.
So if I get a B12 shot, it has to be something called methylcobalamin. And that is a methylated form of B12 so that my body will use it appropriately, like it's supposed to. And
right.
B vitamins for our brain and all that fun stuff. So awareness of this.
David found a pension that his staff would love. He chose NatWest Cushion because it has a fantastic app that is easy to use. Everyone feels good, except David. He is ecstatic. Take a little more action with a NatWest Cushion Workplace Pension. Tomorrow begins today. Search NatWest Cushion. Capital at risk.
It really helped change some of the things I also did with my family and understanding how their bodies work, you know, because it is connected to certain things, you know. But in the research that I did, I just found it so fascinating that there was so little diagnosing going on a long time ago. Now it's so much higher.
Yes.
Yeah, we have so many adults now saying, like you said, you know, I think I'm on the spectrum as well. And I think we're all on the spectrum. All of us are. Somewhere we all fall in there. There's high functioning, middle functioning, or low functioning.
Right.
So we're all in there. It's just, where are you on there?
Yeah.
You know, because you've got some of the smartest people in the world that could not even hold a conversation with another human being.
That's correct.
They were creating and coming up with all these equations, right?
Yes.
They couldn't lead a normal life, but that doesn't, there's nothing wrong with them. It's just the way their brain processes.
Einstein was one of them.
Absolutely. Is one of the guys I'm talking about. So, and I know my poor middle daughter, when she was in seventh grade, eighth grade, she was trying to tell her the friends at school, my brain just processes differently than you.
Yeah.
So instead of them hearing her, what she was saying, she was able to, she was advocating for herself.
I love that. I love how she said that. You know, she's not saying that she's different or she has a disorder or she has a condition. I just process things differently. I'm right. just like you, but I just process things a little bit differently. That is a amazing answer. That makes me excited because I love how she described it. That shows how wonderful you're doing as a parent yourself. These techniques are fabulous because she's looking at herself. She's not looking at herself as a different person. She's not looking at herself as an outcast. I'm just like you. I just process things a little bit differently. I love it. I just absolutely love it.
Well, I was really proud of her for that. That what I wasn't proud of is the reaction to the girls had. Oh, well, you think you're smarter than us?
Oh.
So she didn't really know how to answer that because that's not what she was saying.
No, it was not. So
she wasn't ready with a comeback of saying
that was their insecurity.
Right. And so I was so proud of her for being able to say that. Now, my little guy, he has not come from an environment that he thinks anything is wrong.
Yeah.
That he understands his brain processes differently, because he talks about how his brain processes, and his conversations are very interesting. But he also hasn't really known to ask questions about it until the last year and a half.
Right.
And then we started having lots of conversations about it.
Mm-hmm.
So it's that's been, I guess I took for granted for a long time. I didn't know when we were going to have these conversations, and now we're having them.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Sometimes it takes, like, even with as you get older, as you start to get more developed, and boys tend to mature a little bit slower too than girls. And now he's at a stage where his brain and his awareness has advanced, and he's starting to process a lot of things that he didn't process before. But that all comes with just aging, developing, maturity, and just a grown, you know, understanding. You know, as we develop, as our brain develops, we process things more easily. Just like you can't, a first grader can't process a fifth grader's work. You know, it's just as time goes on, we develop, and we are able to process the things we couldn't process before.
Right, because there was no, I don't think he had an awareness for it, but he also comes from an environment that celebrates it.
Yes.
Like his old school that closed in May, and we had to find a new school this year, which was really hard. But his old school, we literally, we had to, we would celebrate World Down Syndrome Day in March, and we would celebrate World Autism Awareness Day on April 2nd. And then we would do like a school-wide sensory thing with all the kids.
Mm-hmm.
You could all feel what that was like, you know?
That's awesome.
Okay. My little one. I love him. Anyways, he's my little me, my little mini me. Yeah, you know, but I'm glad that he's asking questions, and he's like, I'm glad I'm autism. And I'm like, okay. So then we had to have that whole conversation. So you have it. Mm-hmm. It's like, you know, we aren't a dog, but we have a dog.
Right.
You know, kind of thing, so that he can understand. But he's learned so much because he's been in therapy since he was 18 months old. Now I found his little book. I journaled for all three of my children, and they were through the birthing process and everything.
Yeah.
So I found my journal for him the other day, and I was reading it, and I, cause just recently he wanted to know about his birth.
Yeah.
So I told him the whole story. It's there's quite a bit to it. I forgot, like I knew I had intrauterine growth restriction, so he stopped growing in utero, but I forgot that he was delayed in his development as well in utero. And so it's finally why they brought him out.
Yeah.
And then it took us several days to get him to latch on. He could not swallow. So we had to teach him how to swallow when he was born.
Right.
And then he wasn't growing after he was born. So I was like pumping, and we were giving formula, both.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So he's still lower on the chart, you know, for height and weight, but he's healthy.
He's
healthy weight and height. But we have to remember that, you know, when you're raising a child with a development that's delayed, because mm-hmm. this happened to both my middle and my
right.
my daughter and my son were developmentally delayed. But when you have that going on, you're gonna raise them differently.
You have to, for sure.
Okay, I just sneezed, and so I was like, I'm gonna block that out. But anyways, I'm gonna mute myself for that sneeze. But we just, you know, it's so important for us to be tuned into our children, to assess what their needs are, to also teach them how to be independent, how to be independent thinkers, how to be resilient to overcome. Because being on the spectrum and having disability challenges of any kind, you are going to have to be an overcomer.
Oh yeah, for sure.
And we have to teach them that, because we don't know what our future looks like. We want them to be able to be resilient in their
yes.
life. And those are life skills that are just, you can't put a price on those.
No, you can't. And I think it's very important for the parents to take part in that. You know, even when I was growing up, my mother always gave me encouragement. And she always told me, don't let anyone make you feel indifferent. You can do it. You can do anything you put your mind to. And she just pumped positivity in me when I was growing up with epilepsy because of all the struggles and obstacles that I endured. And, you know, I think, you know, it did make an impact. You know, like, I don't even remember her saying all these things. Like, I briefly, certain things might come into my head, but I think probably her positivity and making me feel good about myself probably helped me along the way, because I never, you know, I always had it, but I never felt, you know, I didn't feel indifferent. I think sometimes I wanted to be more accepted, and I saw myself when I was younger being more of a follower than a leader. And then later I realized, you know, when I started to talk about my disability, I started to realize that, you know what, I'm actually proud because now I'm helping others, you know, and I switched from being that follower to a leader. And so in a way it made me stronger, you know, and I think that's that thing we have to tell people with autism, people with disabilities, people with any kind of conditions, you know, don't look at it as a weakness. Take it as a strength. Use your experiences, pull the positivity out of every struggle you've been through and use it as a strength and make good of it. I said, you know, I say, be an advocate. Do something to help others, help yourself, and then go out there and use it to help others. And you know, how great would the world be if you could work on yourself, maybe have people, support groups, people like you, other people, strengthening them and getting them to a point where they feel so good about themselves that they can go out and help other people with similar situations. And we keep helping each other and we, as a community, and we grow and we become stronger and we feel good about ourselves. Can you imagine how amazing the world could be if we took out the hatred, if we took out the stigmatisms, if we took out the labels and we use this in a positive sense? You know, if people started to take out the negativity out of their lives and started putting positivity, let's be positive. Let's help each other. Let's be a strong community. How great would that be? People have to realize, it's all about coming together. It's not about hatred. It's not about labelizing. It's not about stigmatism and grouping each other into all these different groups. It's about coming together as one. That's right. How it's all going to work.
Well, and it's also about sharing your different cultures and loves and, you know, and like taste and things, and you know, you're going to like some, you may not like others, and it may not, you know, but it's so cool to be exposed to those things.
Oh yeah, for sure.
I mean, you know, I know there's the old way of thinking of like, well, I know in the hills, I know in the country of the United States in the middle. I mean, I speak from Florida, but I live in Tennessee. So Tennessee, North Carolina, Alabama, Georgia, this area is like my people. And mm-hmm. So they don't really like to go outside their people. Like the older folks do. Like my husband's grandmother would say, oh, I know you have to go see your people. Like, so it's so offensive to me. Like I was doing the worst thing, going to see my mom. You know? So I know there's that mentality that's out there, and there's even worse, we know, but you know, it's really not the way the world was designed to be. It's not what the intention was. The intention was for us to be open-minded. We have to expand our awareness. Our awareness has been so compressed through periods of time, you know, that horrendous things that have happened in our history.
Oh, yeah.
So now is a really great time for us to expand our awareness about many things and expand our awareness about ourselves. Hey, how can I be the better version of myself? What do I need to? I think that's tremendously scary for people to take ownership.
David found a pension that his staff would love. He chose NatWest Cushion because it has a fantastic app that is easy to use. Everyone feels good, except David. He is ecstatic. Take a little more action with a NatWest Cushion Workplace Pension. Tomorrow begins today. Search NatWest Cushion. Capital at risk.
Tremendously, especially
for sure.
You know, I mean, narcissists we have to pray for.
Yes.
And sorry, calling you out. You exist out there. I know that.
Oh, yeah. I have family members that are narcissists. And
yes.
I know people, that are in our groups, in our circles, and they are narcissistic, but all we could do is pray, because, that's a very hard barrier to try to change. It's not narcissist that you really can't, that's a disorder in itself that they have to approach and get help for. So yeah. All we can do, like you said, is pray and really. Right.
I know one who's recovering and I still have to call him out on things.
Yeah.
No, that's, you're still being, no,
Yeah.
There's more room in this room for opinions than just yours.
Yes, so, exactly. Exactly.
But, and I'm so concerned that we're raising a society of narcissistic kids, young adults, because everything is so selfie me this, selfie me that, video about myself, video about what I'm doing. So.
Yeah.
It's making everyone think they're more important in an egotistical way than what they're doing is really important.
I've noticed that myself. And even when I've worked with younger generations, like on projects, I feel like the lack of respect, it's like, I was brought up to respect, and I was always, I, this is how I brought my children up, but I see that, like, in the 20s and 30 years old, when I have to work with them, some of the things that come out of their mouths, I just look at them and I'm like, excuse me.
Well, but the questioning, like, I was so excited to send my, I was sad for her to go, but I was also excited for the college time, right?
Yeah.
But we know what colleges are doing is, what I feel like society is doing is it's not promoting the family. It's not promoting the family unit. It's like, I've heard my older daughter and some of her friends, the way they talk about parenting and things that we do that are like normal for us to do.
Yeah.
Like either questioning it, they're judging.
Oh yeah. I've seen
like,
that.
Oh, you can't do that. I'm like, oh yes, I can. And
yeah.
Paying your bills and taking care of you, I can do that.
Yes.
So there's this whole generation that is, it's really shocking to me what I'm seeing out there. And just like,
they're talking about parenting techniques, these new parenting techniques, but these new parenting techniques are mentioned in, just like you said, the me generation, and it's not going to help these children. It's going to actually harm these children, because
you don't say no to your child. They don't learn what their boundaries are.
Exactly.
They don't learn. I mean, my mom has a psychology background, and I remember when the girls were younger, she said to me many times, right, hoping to get it into my mind, which it did get there because I used it. If you don't say no to your children, they never learn how far they can go or can't go. But also, children do not want to be the parent or the adult. They want you to be that, because consciously, they have got to have that telling
guidance.
Them what's okay, what's not okay, what I should do, what I shouldn't do, until they can figure it out themselves.
Exactly.
And so it's, even though a kid doesn't want to hear no, and even if you have a child, like I have two that ask me no, and then it gets asked about 100 more times. Or when I stop and say, you do it again, I'm going to.
I think that's even kids without autism, because,
it's just that, that's just a defiant thing, right?
Yes.
But I'm saying, when you have a child like that, you just have to keep saying, no, sorry, no, no,
mm-hmm.
I know you want what you want when you want, when you want,
yes.
When you want what you want, when you want it, and you can't understand no. There is an entire generation of these children. It's like, sorry, so sad. You don't get everything in life. We can't have you. Now, when you get older, you understand the way things are. You can manifest things, right?
Just manifest
good. Let's manifest good, right? But you have to hear no, because there are all these in between little intricacies that we have to learn.
Yeah.
My oldest would be like, why do we have laws, mom? And even my youngest has asked this question. Well, I would say to her, if we all come to the stoplight at the same time, there's going to be a wreck and nobody's going to get anywhere. So we have to follow the rules. I have to.
Yeah, it's true. You know, in our, you know, the next time we do a podcast together, I would love to tap into, now you were talking about parenting, but I would love to talk to parents about being caretakers, because I feel like this is a whole different discussion. So I don't want to bring it up right now in this podcast, but you are a caretaker to two children with autism. And I don't think people recognize the difficulties and the responsibility and the emotional, how hard it is. It's emotionally hard on you. It's physically draining, you know, as much as you love your children, it's a lot of work. And then you're probably trying to do your own career. You probably have your family to take care of. You have to be a wife. You have to do this. You have to run errands. And so it's a combination of trying to live a normal life and then have two children that you're a caretaker for. Mm-hmm. And this goes on in all different conditions. And, you know, my husband, you know, and my parents, I didn't realize what they went through till later in life when I had to be a caretaker to three of my relatives who were dying. And then I realized the amount of responsibility and how emotionally draining it can be. As much as you love the person, it's a big job being a caretaker. And maybe in our next podcast together, and maybe when we do our seminars, because we'll be doing seminars in the future together, we could discuss that, because I think there's a lot of people out there that take care of children with autism, that take care of people, you know, or elderlies or older people or people that have a condition or a disorder or a disability, and they need support. And
absolutely,
that's something we can go over, you know, when we speak next time, because I think they need support, and maybe I think we would be great advocates to help them with some of our suggestions. So sorry to draw you off the conversation, but that
came to
my perfect mind when we were talking.
Well, it's perfect. And even like my former stepmother, I say former because my father's passed away now, but he, with the three things that he had, and he reverted back to a child, right? She had never had children, so she'd never taken care of anyone before.
Yeah.
So I would give her advice or send her things that I was doing for my own child.
Right.
Like, this is what you have to do. Like, now that he has accidents, you got to take him to the potty every 2 hours.
Right.
He's 80. You still got to do it.
Exactly.
You know, and it is like having a little child around.
Yes.
So, but she was exhausted from all of it. And I said, yes, this is what it's like.
Yeah.
It is a continual.
David found a pension that his staff would love. He chose NatWest Cushion because it has a fantastic app that is easy to use. Everyone feels good. Except David. He is ecstatic. Take a little more action with a NatWest Cushion Workplace Pension. Tomorrow begins today. Search NatWest Cushion. Capital at risk.
Continual exhaustion.
Yes.
So, I mean, it just, it goes on and on and on. And
yeah,
we didn't have grandparents around to help. My husband and I didn't. So I did the majority of everything, you know, went to work. I took care of the kids, and it's still that way.
Yeah.
So I've told my kids, you need to live near us. You will need our help when you have children.
And
you
for sure.
You will not want us hours away, especially the middle of the night, those emergencies. Everybody has them when you have a child.
Yes.
Everybody does.
I thank God that my parents and my in-laws live nearby, and they were the greatest help, because it was really a lot of work, but I always could rely on one of them to help me. They were always in arm's length, and they were always willing to help out whenever they could. And that help was a lot, because you don't realize how much, you know, everything, how much work in parenting is involved. And so it is good to have family members. I talk to people who don't have that support, and it's very difficult for them. It's a lot of work when you don't have support of your family near you, and it's all on you and your partner. It's a lot of work.
Yeah, it's a lonely road.
It's a lonely road. Yeah. Now tell some people about all the different things you do, because you do so many different things, helping others, and you have your own column, and you write, and you you know, tell people some of the things that you offer and how you can help others.
Okay. Well, I have my children's books, and they're on my website, maryejackson.com, or they're on Amazon, and You know, those to me are, I have IM pages in those. We've just re-released the first two, and we've just re-released the first two in the series. And I really love those because it helps families get started on positive language with their children.
Yes.
Like, I am love. I am joy. Look at me. Look what I can do. I'm so wonderful. My mom thinks I'm perfectly made. It's about how you come into the world and helping your child accept them for who they are, how they came into this world.
Love that.
And those were inspired by my son, who came in very challenged in a very challenging way.
Yeah.
We survived his birth, both of us. So that's where that came from. I have some stuff on my website for advocacy. I am putting more and more things up there. I actually am working on a book for parents, and I'm going to have it up there soon. And it's about advocating for your child, whether they have a challenge or not.
Excellent.
And then a book about positive parenting, you know, we have to change the way we parent so that we are more effective in a positive way.
Yes.
You know, helping mm-hmm. them.
Yeah.
And that's really, really, really important for our children and the future. Because we don't want to keep putting broken people out in the world. We want to stop that. You know,
yes.
I have brokenness in my family, on my mother's side, on my father's side. My husband has it on his mother's side. And we're just like, we're done. We're done. You know? So, mm-hmm. so we really want to bring better, healthier humans up in this world.
Yes.
So the advocacy work, you know, I help parents figuring out through like early diagnosis, you know, what to do after you have a diagnosis, what to do about going to get services in schools. You know, if anybody's interested in getting their library more sensory friendly, you know, please yeah. contact me because I've done it several times now. And actually I was just on the Channel 5 news 2 weeks ago because
congratulations.
Thank you. It was so amazing. And the segment turned out amazing. And there's been so much positive response to it. We went to the Nashville Public Library and did a segment on the sensory room that's there that was created, which I was really excited to be a part of. I have podcasts and yes. live streams, and it's always important to me to, I swear, Stacey, almost every day if I'm out or talking, I meet somebody, I'm like, I need to interview you for the disability world because there's just, there's so much full. Did you know there's a cruise line called Autism on the Seas?
No, I didn't.
Yes.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah. So I called him. I said,
I was going to say, you should get on that cruise.
No, I want to interview you people about what you're doing, right?
Yeah.
They have licensed professionals on the ship. Evidently the ship's full. They're very, very positive, very, very busy. And then like the other day there was Virgin Hotels, I know here in Nashville, is offering a weekend stay, $129 a night for families who have children with autism.
Wow.
To help them have that experience.
Yes.
Before they go off somewhere. So
that's wonderful.
Virgin Hotels is very, very,
I didn't even know about this stuff.
Wow. I know. Right. So, you know, sharing those resources is really, really, that's a very
important. Yeah.
But yeah. Speaking, wherever I can speak and educate, you know, I'm always looking for those opportunities because I just think it's so important. I've been parenting for over 23 years. You've been parenting a long time too, as well. And I think longer than I have. And just, we want to take all of that experience and then give back with it.
100%. Yes. Yes.
So
I think what you're doing is wonderful. And you also write for WOW magazine, right?
I do. Yes. Thank you for, yes, bringing it up. Yes. And actually my next article is going to be on you. And the angle I'm going for is being the parent with a disability, raising a child with a disability, which is not talked about very much. Like,
right.
I never really hear those conversations unless someone's telling me their story.
Right. You
know? So I don't see anything publicly out there about that. And I just think that's a really, really, really important thing to share. You know, with Autism Tennessee, I get to, we're going to be working with one of my daughter's colleges to get a college ambassador on the campus.
Oh, great.
Yeah. So that'll be fun. And there is, you know, my girls are music artists, so we're trying to use their music in the platform of bridging diversity and inclusivity. And so we're trying to kind of bring all this together that we do, you know, that's going on in our family to help others in different creative ways. So
where can you find, like, I've heard your daughter's music and it's amazing. And where can people find it? Because I think people with either autism or disabilities or any type of condition, they would be so impacted by their music if they heard it. Where can they find their music?
So they're anywhere music is streamed and sold. They are Sisters with an S and then J. So it's Sisters J because we're Jacksons.
Right, right.
So it's we can take the Jackson 5 because that's already been taken. We had to go with Sisters J. So they are anywhere music is sold and streamed. You can find them at sistersj.com online. They are on Facebook and Twitter and Instagram is Sisters J Music and YouTube as well. Their latest song, Breathe In, has got some autistic kids in it, my son and some other ones, and then some Down syndrome kids. So we're trying to like come together in celebration.
Oh, I love it.
You know, breathe in, remember who we are, who God made us to be. And, you know, the girls really want to put love and light out in the world. They want to do it through music. Yeah. My middle daughter is an artist. She's in animation and filmmaking. And actually she is working on a project with a organization out of Dublin, Ireland called Anua Global. And I love them because she's an ambassador for them, a youth ambassador, because what they do is they teach kids around the globe in underprivileged areas and countries where, you know, they're really struggling. They teach them tools and music and art so that they can use that to make money for their families and villages.
Right.
So it's a really great organization. And so they have teamed up with Skylar Jett is his name. He took over for Lionel Richie, the Commodores in the 80s.
Yeah.
And Skylar, oh my gosh, I just think this is so cool. He lives in the same village, in the same woods as the man who created Winnie the Pooh.
Oh my gosh.
And he created it. It's all from those woods. That was the 100-acre wood. So I said to Skylar when we Zoom, oh my gosh, show me outside. Let me see outside your window. You know, because both my girls, their bedroom, you know, stuff was all Winnie the Pooh because I love Pooh so much. But
oh my God, yeah.
I'm a huge Pooh fan. But he wrote a song called, now he has an organization called Music for Global Change. He's all about social conscious music, uplifting music.
Yeah.
So he is teaming up with my girls, but also with Lily, because she's an animator, to create an animated video to go with the song. It's called Positive Vibes. And then they're trying to get kids from 21 different countries to sing the song to be in the music video. So it'll be animation and then live stuff.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's all about empowering kids.
Right. Oh, you know? Wow. I love it.
I'm super excited about this project. And, you know, we're, I know they're like, come on, let's get it going. And, you know, animation takes a little time and, but to be a part of that is really quite special. You know, the more that we can do to empower our kids and I'm saying, you know, here's a child, my middle daughter, she was nonverbal, developmentally delayed, tremendously traumatized at the age of 5. And then here she's at college now. And she has written a 500-page novel and is in animation and filmmaking.
Amazing.
That, to me, is anything is possible.
Yes.
That's what she represents to me. Yes. She is one of my heroes.
Aw.
She is. So.
Well, you know what? She got it from you. Your wonderful parenting skills, your supportiveness, your positivity. She's, you know, they're watching their mommy fight for them. They're watching you advocate for them. You're their rock. You're the one supporting them. You're the one who's there to catch them. And that means something. That goes a long way.
It does.
So as much as you're proud of them, they are proud of you. And together, this is why they are who they are today.
Well, let's hope they just keep climbing. They just keep going. So we'll see how the maestro turns out over here. So he's still in progress.
Well, if he's anything like his mommy, I'm sure he's gonna elevate just like the other two did.
Well, I hope so. I don't know. He may end up being a YouTuber. I don't know.
Well, you know, it's funny because my son was a gamer, my oldest son, and all he did was play video games. Even in college, I could hear him playing video games. And I was like, what is this kid going to turn out to be? Well, it happens that he went to college, he became a software engineer. Now he's working with a huge company and he works and he helps the military with cybersecurity and wow. creating software. Now, if you asked me years ago what he was going to do, I was just like, God bless them. I'll do my best.
30, right? He'll be in my basement when he's 30. I hope not, right?
I go to give him a kiss and he's like, Mom, you're interrupting. You almost got me killed. You know, I'm like, oh my God, this kid is getting ready to go to college and he's worried about getting killed on a video game. Oh my God. And so it's like, you know, I didn't know what to expect, but he turned out to flourish like there was no tomorrow, and he's still flourishing, and he just got a promotion, and he's working his way up the ladder, and he's 26 and he keeps on going. So you know what, you know, our kids, they learn from us. They learn from us and they take in more than we realize, you know, and is, you know, they like what they like, but they know when it's time to sit down and really be serious about life. And they know from watching their parents how to make good choices. And that's what parents have to do. We have to set the guidelines. We have to show them how to be a good child, how to be a good adult, how to be a good, you know, and just set, you know, I learned that they're like a bird. You can nest them, take care of them, you know, cradle them. And then at some point you got to just let them fly. And they're going to fly. And you know what? They may have some accidents along the way, but that's what parents are there. We're there to catch them if they need help. And then we're there to cradle them, help them, and then set them on their way again. And that's what parenting is all about. And as long as you're a good parent, you do your best, you know, that's all you can do. You know, and your children are destined to be who they are. And as long as they have good mentors, they will flourish. They will.
Yeah. And it doesn't, they don't have to come from privilege. I mean, you know,
no, not at all.
My parents divorced when I was young.
Yeah.
My grandparents died all in 1 year. We were on green stamps for a while. My dad left. I mean, my dad was extremely successful in the corporate world, but he married that. He left us. So, you know, I was raised by a mother watching a mother raise three kids and work full time.
Yeah.
And so I thought she was Wonder Woman. Right?
Yeah.
She was incredible. So I found myself in my own marriage replaying that, taking it all on, doing it all. And then I had to, my husband, we got a partner together on everything, you know?
Yes.
But I didn't get to see that growing up in some of those really important formidable years. So it's really important for, if we want our children to have healthy marriages and relationships, they got to see it in the home.
Oh, 100%.
They got to see hardworking people, but they have to see a parent who also takes care of themselves.
Yes.
And, you know, there's space and room for sacrifice and hard work and what that turns out to be in your life. But there's also, we can't be a doormat and we can't be abused.
No.
And we can't make excuses for somebody who is not doing their job or mistreating us.
Yeah.
So there's so many like
aspects.
Oh my God, it's freaking hardest job ever in the world. There is nothing that compares to parenting. I don't think so.
No, there isn't. You're 100% right. You are 100% right.
There's so many things you have to be skilled in. Like you have to have a certificate that you never get and a paycheck you never get. And
there are no books out there with all the surprises that come along with it. So, you know, you can only do your best and that's all, you know.
And if not, get help, read a book, go to somebody.
Yes. You always have to reach out. And you know, there are a lot of people that are embarrassed to reach out, but reaching out is what got me where I am today. It's so important. When you need help, you got to reach out. Don't be embarrassed, because I think it was even from my own experiences, when I reached out, I realized how many people were just like me that reached back. You know, that's when I realized I wasn't alone. Every single one that's listening to this podcast, you are not alone. Whatever you're going through in life, I guarantee you there are hundreds of more like you going through the same thing. So reach out, And I guarantee you, people will reach back. It's just, it will happen. You know, there are people out there. There's those love magnets that will want to see you, you know, succeed. They will want to help you. And there's so many people that could share their story, and actually other people's stories and other people's guidance can actually do so much to help.
But you also have to pick yourself up too. You do
100%. It's up to you. It's all up to you. You know, if you don't do the work and you don't put in the time, it's not going to happen. So you have to, you can't rely on others to heal you. You can't rely on others to make you who you want to be. That part is up to you, but they could be people out there to give you direction, help, hope, support. But when it comes down to it, it's all up to you.
Exactly. Absolutely. Absolutely. 100%.
So tell people before we go, just tell people once again where they can find you, and tell them your email address also, because I want people, if they have questions, I want them to be able to email you and maybe ask you some questions about autism, parenting, advocating, about the software, about the teaching and the therapies that we talked about. You know, give people an email address too.
Okay, sure. So it's www.maryejackson.com. So it's just my name. And my email is mary@maryejackson.com. So it's very easy. Try to keep it easy, you know? So yeah, that's my email. And then that's my website. And that's how you can contact me through my email. And I am more than happy to answer questions.
This has been amazing. It's always amazing. And, you know, this is not the last that you've seen Mary. Mary and I are going to be doing a lot of things together. And I hope that you'll stay tuned to see us next time. We're going to be planning a lot of great things to help a lot of great people in this world. So I'm very excited about what the future holds. And, you know, thank you so much for listening to this podcast. Once again, Mary, thank you so much. I love having you on the show. I love talking to you. You are an inspiration to me, and I just love you so much.
Oh, I same right back to you, right back to you. I'm so glad God brought us together. Thank you
yes,
so much.
Yes, me too. You have a great day.
You too. Bye.